is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
Back, you are listening to Monday Night's Talk, and that was interesting, was it not? Talking to somebody like a Nubris and Ratel. Now, if you've missed any of these segments that we've done, the Dom's Dimes that we had with Chris and Dominic DiOrio, or with Nubris and Ratel, I definitely try to make sure that we put the podcast up in a timely fashion, usually before the next show. Of course, next show being next Monday night, where we're already looking to line up a couple of different folks to chat with, and a couple of them running for office. We got a lot of folks who are going to be running for office come the new year, not only for that open state rep seat in Brockton, but Senator Bob Hedlund, who was going to soon, as of next Monday, be Mayor Bob Hedlund. Be interested to talk with the folks who are running for his open Senate seat. So we're going to look to have them come in and be part of the show and chat and tell us why they should be the ones to serve out the remainder of his term, which goes till next November. So stay tuned for that. Now, joining us right now is a gentleman who I love having this guy on because he has so much knowledge when it comes to sports and when it comes to great food, none other than Kerry J. Byrne. We know him from coldheadfootballfacts.com. We also know him from his work with the Boston Herald, not only in the food section, but he's getting more and more time in the sports section. Kerry, how are you doing?
Kevin Tachi, the hardest working man in radio.
Not as hard as working as you. You are, more and more I'm seeing your byline, more and more I'm seeing your face in and around the web is some of the things that you're doing. What are you up to?
Hey, you know, just doing it all, man. You know, we had a great year. We cover beer, cover food, cover football. Still, you know, get a lot going on with Cold Hard Football Facts with footballnation.com, our other site. I don't know if you know this, Kevin, but we run the only lottery-style fantasy sports game in America, fantasyspin.com. If your listeners haven't checked it out, check it out, fantasyspin.com. And basically, spin the wheels, pick a fantasy team. Anyone can play, anyone can win. It's a lot of fun, a great way to play fantasy sports if you're not a so-called fantasy expert.
Well, are you trying to get in on the whole? I mean, it seems as though that's the big thing when you get the two big names right now who are, seems like they're taking on state after state and being legitimate is when it comes to fantasy sports and stuff. Is it something like that?
No, well, so here's the difference. So what fantasy, what those other games do, you know, you go in, you pick a game, you pick all your players, and you bet money and hope to win. But what happens with those games and why they're drawing so much controversy for a number of reasons. One, the same people are winning over and over. So if you're spending the professional, they're not professional fantasy football players, Kip. Mm. There are people who spend their time like professional day traders on Wall Street. You know, who don't live on Wall Street, but who you know trade on their computers at home.
Right.
They run all the numbers. They do all the research. And there are people now who make a living playing fantasy football, professional fantasy football players. And those people, week after week, win all the money on all those big-name fantasy games. So if you're playing those games, you are throwing your money away. People always lose their money because the same professional players are winning over and over. What we have at fantasyspin.com is a complete random game of chance. So, you know, if you're one of those 2 or 3% of the people who are doing all the research and you're going to get your money back, great. Play those other games. But if you're just an average guy who wants to have some fun, or an average way he wants to have some fun playing fantasy sports, Play fantasyspin.com. You spin the reels, you pick a team. It's simple as that. And we think long-term, we have a lot of opportunity to grow this game because anyone can play and anyone can win. It's not a fantasy game dominated by the professional players, gamed, if you will, by the professional players.
And is this all sports or just a particular sport?
Right now it's football. You know, right now it's football season. Okay. You know, you can't play today because Monday Night Football, you have to wait till after tonight's game. Then you can play for Week 17. We also have a playoff game, a postseason fantasy game, so you can play fantasy spin back through to the Super Bowl. Right now it's football, but we have a NASCAR game. We have a other games in development, hockey, baseball, golf. And, you know, obviously football is kind of the marquee sport in fantasy, and, you know, the fantasy realm. I mean, most of the fantasy business is through fantasy football, and that's what most people are interested in. But we have other sports in the queue and other sports in development, and it's just the thing is, Kevin, it's just fun. You spin the wheels, you pick a team, simple as that. You do not have to be a fantasy expert to play and win fantasy spin, and that's what makes it different than the other games.
But are you somebody who likes delving into the fantasy world, and whether it's you're part of a league that is the entire season or it's week to week? Is that something
that... It's week to week. You spin each week. You're picking a team each week.
Okay. Well,
so you can play...
Well, I was going
to
say...
All year long. And Kevin, my wife, who knows very little about football, loves to play.
Really?
Because all she has to do is spin the reels. There's her team. A couple of different options. You can do a quick pick game. You can do a regular game. You spin the wheels, and she can kind of have an added incentive to watch football with me because she has a fantasy team that she can play and compete on an equal footing with the so-called experts.
Well, let's make sure we remind folks again the website and how can they get involved?
FantasySpin.com. Simple as that. Check it out. Spin the reels. And like I said, when you can't, you know, like any fantasy football game, you can't play today because there's only one game left in the fantasy season. You know, in the fantasy week, but as of tomorrow, you know, you can play in week 17. You can check it out. Very simple, fantasyspin.com.
I got to ask you, looking at tonight's game, let's just look at tonight's game. You got two of the backup quarterbacks who yep. are, this is a big game between the Broncos and the Bengals, and your backup quarterbacks are in there. Give me your thoughts on this game and how big it is when it comes to the AFC.
Well, first of all, for you know, Patriots fans, I think you're rooting for Cincinnati.
Yeah, really?
Yeah, because first of all, if Denver wins, the Patriots have to win Monday, or they have a possibility of going to Denver in the AFC title game. I think all things being equal, now we already know the Patriots have a first round bye. They don't have the number one seed yet. They beat Miami. They have the number one seed no matter what. But worst case scenario, the Patriots lose to the Dolphins next week and lose the number one seed and fall to the number two seed. I think you'd rather go to Cincinnati yep. in the AFC title game than Denver.
Yeah.
And so if Cincinnati wins tonight, they basically wrap up, you know, they wrap up that other spot.
Oh.
So you don't, I mean, we've seen New England's House of Horrors over the years going into Denver. It's a tough place for the Patriots to play and win. And they have struggled there. It's one of the worst, you know, in Tom Brady's otherwise illustrious career, in some of his worst games, you know, the team's worst record is in Denver, where they struggle to win, and we saw that this year. Even though they were shorthanded and they went to overtime and they lost 30-24 to the Broncos, they still lost on the road. And I think all things being equal, you would rather go to Denver and face A.J. McCown and the Bengals, assuming Andy Dalton isn't ready yet at quarterback for the Bengals, and then go to Cincinnati and play those guys. I mean, then go to Denver. You would want to go to Cincinnati in the AFC title game. Again, talking worst case scenario, the Patriots fall to number two seed. So I think if you're a Patriots fan tonight, you must be rooting for the Bengals.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Give me your thoughts on the season overall. I mean, we just finally saw the last undefeated team, the Carolina Panthers, fall to Atlanta this weekend. What has the season been like for you watching?
Well, you know what? I think, and listen, I'm a football fan first and foremost. I have not been happy with this season. I think the officiating issues we see week after week, mm-hmm. Kevin, the NFL is over officiating the sport. Their refs are too involved. They're micromanaging every play, and as a result, I think they're diminishing the game. You will tell me what you think, but those ref calls, the fact that you're looking for a flag every time someone throws a ball more than 20 yards downfield, you know, anytime there's even an incomplete pass downfield, you're looking around with a flag. They're over-officiating the game, Kevin, and I think it's detracting from the sport. I really do. The ratings maybe don't say that yet, but I think if this keeps up a year or two down the road, we might see something we've never seen, and that's the NFL losing viewership, because the football fans I've talked to are not happy with the state of officiating, and I think it's because the NFL is an over officious regulatory environment. Mm. They're micromanaging too much, Kevin. Sometimes you have to let the guys play football, and they're not letting the guys play football. The ticky-tack pass interference penalties on either side are too much. The ticky-tack holding penalties that change the course of game. Reviewing everything from above. You know what? Let the guys play football. If something's egregious, call it. If it's not egregious, don't call it. I understand we need to protect our players in this day and age. You got to protect players, you know, shots to the head, things like that. But those aren't the penalties that are hurting the game. It's the over-officiating. It's the ticky-tack pass interferences. It's those little things. Kevin, to me, it's diminishing my enjoyment of the game, and I don't think I'm alone.
How about as far as the NFL? It seems as though every time we turn around, the NFL is a negative headline. This week, it's about Peyton Manning,
yep.
Al Jazeera, the purchase of HDH, supposedly yep. his wife, something to do. First it was he was using it, or he purchased it back in 2011. Then it was recanted, and now there's conversation about what should be done, or, you know, is there going to be a lawsuit on behalf of Peyton Manning? That's going, go back even further, look what's going on. We still got the ongoing litigation of Deflategate with Tom Brady and the NFL and the NFL front office, Adrian Peterson before that.
Yep.
I can keep going here. Greg Hardy. What does the NFL have to do in order to kind of stay out of the headlines and be the positive headline about what's happening on the field and what they're doing as a product?
With all that given, I don't think that hurts the league. I don't think first of all, let's backtrack a bit. When did Al Jazeera start driving the national dialogue on football?
Good point.
That, to me, is the biggest storyline here, that Al Jazeera is breaking stories in American football. I find that bizarre. Bizarre.
Well, I think it's the American branch that broke the news.
I don't know. I found that weird.
Right.
Just all of a sudden, the Al Jazeera reports something, and now the entire nation's reporting about it in football. That's shocking to me. I didn't realize Al Jazeera had that much impact, or had that much insight into the NFL. Whether and we'll see if the stories are true or not. But with that said, the NFL being in the headlines, Deflategate was great for the NFL. It was Patriots fans were annoyed, but that was incredible for the NFL. That soap opera that played out over 8-9 months. Mm-hmm. Day after day, week after week, that's great for the NFL. These stories are good for the NFL. They may be bad for the individuals involved. In fact, part of me thinks, that the NFL put Brady's, in a vice because it was good for the league, even though he's their premier player and the most successful quarterback in the history of football. It was good for the NFL to have the entire nation talking about Tom Brady all year long. What did people talk about in July and August? Did they talk about Major League Baseball, or did they talk about Tom Brady?
No, they talked about
Tom Brady. The NFL ruled the sports news cycle in America, even in the middle of baseball season. So these storylines actually are good for the NFL, even if they're bad for the players involved.
But there's a lack. Kerry, there's a lack of consistency. And listening to some of the Boston talk radio stations today, and some of the criticism that they have is that you've seen a lot of the national media, the Chris Mortensons and the folks on the Four Letter Network rushing to defend Peyton Manning
off. Yeah.
But you know what? Tom Brady has been under the bus how many times? I've lost count.
So that's a different question, Kevin. That's a different question. That comes down to the whole Tom Brady, Peyton Manning.
Okay.
All this, no matter what's going on, is good for the NFL. But this all comes back to something we've talked about at Cold Hard Football Facts for years. There's no debate for any serious football analyst over who was the better quarterback, Tom Brady or Peyton Manning, right? Mm-hmm. We all know Tom Brady has far exceeded Peyton Manning's career at every level.
Yep.
Statistically, winning-wise, success-wise, Tom Brady is empirically the superior quarterback by any measure you want, right?
Yep.
That's not a debate anymore. But why was the debate so long is because of this weird culture of expectations. Peyton Manning came into the NFL, the golden child, the number one overall pick, the sainted son of Southern football royalty, in the Manning family, his dad, a great college football player, a beloved figure in football history. Tom Brady was nobody. So people, Peyton Manning had to prove he wasn't the greatest quarterback before people admitted it. Tom Brady had to prove over and over and over that he was the most successful quarterback in history before people finally admitted he was. Why? Because these storylines conflicted with their original expectations. The pigskin public that in the media expected Manning to be the greatest quarterback of all time, and it took them a long time, and a lot still, many still won't admit it, it took them a long time to realize he wasn't. It took them a long time to realize that Brady was better. But these original first impressions mean everything. The first impression the world had of Peyton Manning is that he was the greatest quarterback ever to come out of the SEC. Mm. And the first impression people had of Tom Brady is that he was just some guy who had struggled to find starting time in Michigan and was just an ordinary sixth-round draft pick like the Mets team. And those expectations have carried with them throughout their careers. It's why Brady had to prove not just once or twice or three times, he had to prove over and over again that he was superior to Peyton Manning. And that's a lot of it, because these guys had a vested interest 10, 15 years ago in Manning being the chosen son. And they're still tied to that today. And I think those expectations can play a lot into it. I don't even think that. I know that. That's just reality. That's human reality.
So I have to ask you, with all things being equal, looking at where we are, we're coming into after tonight's game. We'll be cruising into week 17.
Yep.
I mean, a lot of things are already kind of falling into place. What are you expecting in the last week, and how does that set things up for the playoffs?
Well, pretty interesting. There is not a single playoff spot up for grabs in the NFC. We know the six teams are going to be in the playoffs. Yep. We don't know the final seeding yet, but we know the six teams are going to be in the playoffs. That's all secured. There's a chance the Cardinals get the number one spot and Carolina Falcons number two. There's going to be some jostling possibly, at 5 and 6. But for the most part, the NFC field is set. And the AFC field I think there's still three spots up for grabs. So we know New England's in. We know Cincinnati's in. There's some other, jostling going on. But for the most part, we know who's in. League-wide, usually there's not 9 of 12 spots wrapped up heading into week 17. So there's not a lot to be determined. But I do know this, Kevin. It is going to be an upset for an AFC team to win the Super Bowl. The two best teams in football are, number one, Arizona. I've been saying this for weeks. Arizona, not Carolina, is the best team in football.
Yep.
Arizona's the best team in the NFC. Even if they end up with the number two seed, Arizona most likely is going to the Super Bowl. They're better than Carolina in most every empirical measure, the stats we look at, the quality stats we look at.
Sure.
Count on Arizona to be in the Super Bowl. And if they don't get there, count on Carolina or possibly Seattle. But there are three teams in the NFC that can beat any team in the AFC.
So
one team in the AFC that can win the Super Bowl, and that's New England.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Are any of these, could the Arizona Cardinals beat the team that has the most dangerous receiving weapon since World War II?
Like I said, all those three, we'll get into that in a second. You're talking about Rob Gronkowski.
Yep. I stole that right off of your website.
Arizona, Seattle are all capable of beating New England. And New England is the best the AFC has to offer. Mm. All three are capable of beating every team in the AFC. But the AFC only has one team, I think, really capable of winning the Super Bowl. And the Patriots, I think they'll be underdogs against Arizona. They'll be underdogs against Carolina. But the Patriots are capable of beating any team in the AFC. But That's it. The Super Bowl is going to be, basically, it's going to be New England, Carolina, Arizona, if you're asking me. It's going to be one of those three teams. And if I'm a betting man, I'm betting on the NFC team to win the Super Bowl this year.
Wow. You heard it here first. Kerry
J. Burns. Kevin, we look at the stats, and we look at the numbers, we look at our quality stats, and those two teams, Carolina and Arizona, are legit. And Arizona's a real deal. Why? Because they're peering a quarterback playing in a elite game. Calvin Prom has not got the attention he deserved. He's playing as good as he's played his entire career.
Sure.
But they paired him with one of the best pass defenses in football. And that combination is deadly. They had defense. I know they lost Tyrann Mathews, the great cornerback, really, you know, a game-changing player. But that defense is good enough to stop Tom Brady and the Patriots, even with all their weapons. And that offense is good enough to exploit a pretty good Patriots defense. So that Arizona team, to me, is pretty deadly, pretty dangerous. And right now, they're topping the NFL in a lot of different stats that we look at that lead to Super Bowl championships.
How will health play a major role with any of these teams that are hoping to make it to February? I mean, especially the Patriots. The Patriots, week after week after week, we see key players going down. We saw against the Jets this week, another key player go down. It seems though every week they're losing, key players. How important is it going to be when it comes to health?
That goes for every team, and I think obviously you focus on your team. The Patriots have maybe had a particular rash of injuries, but we're looking at a team that's probably going to be pretty healthy. You know, the Patriots don't play another meaningful game, Kevin, until January 16th.
Mm.
You got to look at it that way. They don't, they win or lose against the Dolphins. If they, the worst case scenario, they're probably going to Cincinnati in the AFC title game. Worst case. So you're talking a team that is in really good shape. Then they have the wild card round. That's a week. January 3rd is that next game. January 9th and 10th is the wild card round. The Patriots, January 16th, January 17th is their next meaningful game. So they still have 3 weeks to get healthy. So I'm not – the Patriots, and they could be fully healthy. They could be as healthy as any team in football. And everyone suffers those injuries. I just talked about Tyrann Mathews, the honey badger for the Cardinals. He's a big loss for that team. He's as big a loss as any player the Patriots have lost relative to, what they mean to their own team. So every team deals with that. So we tend not to focus on those injuries because everyone has them. You have to overcome them. The scoreboard doesn't care if those players are playing. You have to produce one way or the other. And I think the Patriots are going to be fairly healthy. Again, 3 weeks until they play a meaningful game. It's December 28th. The Patriots don't play a meaningful game until January 16th or 17th. So there's still time to heal. There's still time to get their troops together. I think the Patriots are sitting in a pretty good shape.
Who do
the
they
bigger
not...
issue is, are they even at their healthiest?
Yep.
Patriots are the healthiest. Good enough to beat the Arizona Cardinals. I think they're good enough to beat the Panthers. I don't know if they're good enough to beat the Cardinals.
So what I want to ask you is, who do the Patriots not want to face leading up to the AFC Championship? What is the team that you dread seeing them have to face in order to get to the Super Bowl?
Well, most likely they're going to be at home, and their home record is phenomenal. Mm. I mean, you have to worry about the Steelers just because they're the Steelers. They have a Hall of Fame quarterback in Ben Roethlisberger, but that defense has not been good. The Patriots have always exploited that defense. Tom Brady has a great record against that defense, and Pittsburgh might not even make the Super Bowl, might not even make the playoffs at this point. I think the Patriots dominate Houston as they did recently. I think at home against Denver and Brock Osweiler, the Patriots win that game. Going into Denver, another reason, like I said at the start, you have to root for the Bengals tonight if you're a Patriots fan. Going into Denver is a different story than facing Denver at home. So assuming the Patriots get Denver at home, they win that game. The Chiefs, a very intriguing team. I like Alex Smith. He's a very efficient quarterback, underrated. They have a very good defense, one of the best defenses in football, a lot of playmakers up front. But I think, the Patriots playing the Chiefs at home, you got to like the Patriots in that game. The Bengals, even with the backup quarterback, and I like A.J. McCarron, I think he's a winner. I think he proved it in Alabama. He's proving it in a short time in the NFL. I still think the Patriots are a much better team in that game. Probably right now, honestly, at the landscape right now, Kevin, the Jets may be their biggest threat because the Jets do not fear the Patriots. They're division rivals. The Jets, went toe-to-toe with them this week, and they made Tom Brady the offense struggle. Granted, a wounded offense, but they made, the Patriots scored one offensive touchdown. When was the last time we've seen the Patriots score one offensive touchdown? It's been a long time. So the Jets right now may be the team Patriots fans have to fear most in the postseason, in the AFC.
Again, we're speaking with Kerry J. Byrne. This guy's got multiple hats. ColdHotFootballFacts.com, Boston Herald. And tonight we learn about www.fantasyspin.com. Now, are you going to be traveling?
I have a hat with a propeller on it, Kevin.
Oh, is that what it is? Okay, just wanted to check. So are you kind of like a built-in drone?
Remember those hats? Remember, I don't know what they were. Like, within the Little Rascals, where those hats was on top.
Yeah, like Spanky hat. So I got to ask, so are you traveling to the Super Bowl? Are you traveling to California this year?
I'm not sure. I've been to the last 6 or 7 Super Bowls. I'm not sure this year. We'll see how things evolve.
I'm not
set in stone yet, Kevin.
Well, I know you and I have had a lot of fun when you're down at the Super Bowl. I believe that you and I actually were in the middle of doing a radio show when you get pulled over by the cops down in Dallas one year.
Yeah, at Love Airfield in Dallas, yeah.
You still got that audio.
Do you really?
I still have it, yeah. It's classic.
That was 5 years ago now, because that was the 2010 season. That was the Green Bay-Pittsburgh Super Bowl in Dallas. So that was the 2010 season, the 2011 Super Bowl. So that was 5 years ago, Kevin. And that was you got to do a whole special episode on the police incident in the cab in Dallas.
We'll have to do that. We'll have to do that before the Super Bowl.
It was funny. I was trying to do the show in the back of the cab, going to the airport. The cab driver didn't know where he was going. We were driving on randomly. I mean, honestly, we probably looked like terrorists, like we were scoping out the field because we're doing circles around the airport. Finally, the cops pulled us over and like, what's going on? And the cab driver, I'm not trying to be anything here, but he didn't speak English very well. So while talking to you, I had to convey to the cops what was going on while doing the show with you. And it was just pretty fun. I'd love to hear the audio. I haven't heard it in years. I'd love to hear it.
Well, we'll definitely have to air it. Maybe we'll air it towards the end of January. We'll have you back on to give us a Super Bowl preview. What do you think?
Sounds like fun, Kevin.
Anything you want to say to close out the segment, my friend?
No, man. I think we're going to have a great, I think if you're a Patriots fan, you got to feel good. I know after a loss, people tend to overreact, But if you're a Patriots fan, you're 12-3. You're one of the 2 or 3 best teams in football. You're easily the class of the AFC. There's no reason you shouldn't go to the Super Bowl, barring an upset. And then you're going to see one hell of a game. The Patriots versus the Panthers, Patriots versus the Cardinals. Even if the Packers are able to sneak in there, which I don't think they will, who wouldn't want to see Aaron Rodgers and Tom Brady go toe-to-toe in the Super Bowl? So there's a lot of great football left to play. And like I said, still 3 weeks before the Patriots play a meaningful game.
Well, we'll look forward to talking to you before the Super Bowl and get your take on it.
All right, Kevin. Keep up the good work, man. I'll talk to you between now and then, I'm sure.
You got it. There he is. Kerry J. Byrne joining us here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere. We're going to switch gears and switch sports right here on Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.